We're at the top of Nunchet Amud Aleph. Yesterday, the Gemara asked the question about how do we know that chulin shenishchatu b'azara is asur b'hana'a. Well, we started the braisa, so we never actually got to the point where we answered that question. So far, what we dealt with in the braisa that we quoted was that, number one, how do you know that there is a problem even to shecht chulin in the azara? That the Gemara says, because it says, kirchak mimcha makom. That the requirement of shkita, according to Abaye, is only in richuk makom, or the ability to shech, is only in richuk makom, not the karav makom, or kiruv makom. Then the Gemara says, well, that's fine if you are restricted from shechting the animal. But what happens if you went ahead and shechted the animal anyway? Can you eat that animal? That the Gemara brought the continuation of the pasuk. It says that when kirchak mecham makom zavachta ve'achalta. So again, the shechita that is ra'ui la'achila is only be'richuk makom, not be'kiruv makom, not in the mikdash. So that teaches that chulin shenishchatu b'azara, first of all, is restricted from doing as such, and if one does shech chulin b'azara, it's asur b'achila. Now, once we got to that phase, the Gemara wants to know, well, that's fine for behema, tmima, and maybe for balei mumim, where we're in the category of behemoth and end up on the mizbeach. What about a chaya? What about an oaf? Right? Where do these all get included from? That the Gemara says that we have the additional limudim. That's what the Braisa had started with, the additional limudim about v'shachato, v'shachatoto, v'shachatoto. So one of those came to teach us that chaya is included. One of those came to teach us that oaf is included. And the third one came to teach us, this last din, that we just spoke about that, b'di'evet, if one does shecht, right, then it is not ra'ui, the achila. So based on that, we included chay and oaf in all these dinim that we discussed so far. Now the Gemara is up to the point. How do I know, again, that it's asur behana'a? So that's what the Gemara is up to. It says, v'im yachol lo yishchot. So we think that you're not allowed to shecht chumin be'azara. V'im shachat yashlichenu lefnei klavim. But if you did shecht it, sure, there's an isur achila, you may not eat it. But there's no Easter hana'ah. You can throw it out to the dogs. The dogs are the quintessential hana'ah, right? When you're allowed or permitted to get hana'ah from something, it says, l'kelev tashlichun oto. Talmud lomar, l'kelev tashlichun oto. Right? That by the parsha of Nevela, or as Rashi is going to explain, maybe Trefa, oto atah mashlich kelev, v'yatah mashlichun, and shenishkatu l'azara. So the oto, right, there is a mute. And that mute teaches us that only this circumstance do we say that you throw it out to the dogs that you're mutter banal, but the shkulin shenishchatu b'azara is excluded from the ability to get hana from it if it is shechted in the azara. So Rashi points out over here was that yetah mashlich lekelev. So he says that this pasuk is talking about basar hayotzei mechutz lemuchitzato. That this is talking about meat or an animal that came out of its boundary. What does that mean? Right, that generally there's a principle that if one shechts an animal, if there's another animal inside, a fetus inside, then that fetus is nitar with the shechita of the mother. But if it's during the process of shechita, this fetus or this ubar, right, stuck its leg out or an arm out of the mother's womb, then that part that stuck out is not permitted with the mother's shechita, because it wrote what was called Ubatsar Basadeh Sutrefa Lo Tochelu. Right? I mean that when it reaches the Sadeh, when you see the Sadeh, right, I mean that once you've left the mother's womb, it no longer is under that heter of the mother's shechita. So what do you see over here? This parsha is similar to our situation here. Just like by the behema that sticks its part of its body out of its mother's shechita, and you shech the mother, it's asur b'achila, that piece is asur b'achila, but watch, it's mutar b'hana'a. Over here, same case here, you took this chulin out of its mechitza, you took it into the mikdash, so too, maybe it should be asur b'achila and mutar b'hana'a, and that's the puzzle comes to teach you, like, kelev tashlichun oto, oto, just that, you see how mechutz l'mechitza, so only that, where the uber sticks its arm out, is that mutar b'hana'a, but not the case by chulin shenishchatu b'azara. That will be asura b'hana'a. So now we got to the point that we want to do in this braisa. Now, Ashkechinu Mar Yehuda, the Rav Yosef, or the Rav Shmuel Breit, the Rabbi Bar Barchanu. So he found, Mar Yehuda found these two individuals. They were standing on the doorway of Bei Rabba. Amar lahu, Tanya said to them, we have a braisa, Mekadesh, Bepetach Hamor, Bebasar Bechalav, Ubechulin Shnishchatu Bezara. So three of the cases that are mentioned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mikudeshit. Shimon says that it works. That these Yisrael and not work. Now the reason Rabbi Shimon obviously says it's Mikudeshit, because he believes these are not Yisrael Hana'ah. So two of these we dealt with yesterday, right? We had, first of all, yesterday we had Basar B'chalav. We had quoted a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and from Rashi and others, it seems like this was Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Bir Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that Basar B'chalav is Asur B'achila, and Mutar B'hana. That's one. Number two, we said before Petach Hamor was a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Right, Rabbi Yehuda says it's asur b'hana'ah b'petach hamor. Rabbi Shimon says it is mutar b'hana'ah. So we qualified that statement yesterday. He said that that's only right when it's alive. When the petach hamor is still alive, does Rabbi Shimon believe it's mutar b'hana'ah? So this case here also must be a case where it's still alive. So the only thing we don't have here is right that we haven't discussed is chulin shnishchatu b'azara. That works for Rabbi Shimon. So that's what Gemara wants to know. Alma, from this we can conclude, Chulin Shnishchatu Bazara, Rabbi Shimon, Lav Deoraisa. That according to Rabbi Shimon, Chulin Shnishchatu Bazara is not Min HaTorah. Why is it not Min HaTorah? Because what is, first of all, what is the requirement over here for dispensing or to rid oneself of Chulin Shnishchatu Bazara? What do you have to do? You have to do the Sreifa. Sreifa is usually an indication of an Iser Hana'ah. Otherwise, it should be either sufficient to bury it, right? Why it's burning it already indicates that it's and Israel Noah Midoraisa. But additionally, what's really the proof here is the fact that Achaya requires Sreifa. So now Achaya is definitely not, right, within the category of Behema. So that's a limud that the Chachamim brought. Now the Chachamim are going to add on additional items because of what? The possibility that you will confuse a Chaya, Behema, or something that's Nishchat Be'azara with Psulei HaMukdashim. So therefore, there's reason to be goes there in certain instances, but not others. And what's that? So for, like, let's think about the case here. If you have an Azara, someone brings Chulin into the Azara and shechts it. Now what's the possibility you're going to think? Someone's going to think that this was really Kochim that you brought in here. And what happens when the Kochim has a Psulin, Psulei HaMukdashim? Psulei HaMukdashim has to be treated in a certain manner, which means it has to be burnt, right, and taken care of as a Mukdash. So now you come in, you have Chulin Shnishchatu Bazara. What are you going to say? You know, take it out of here, no problem. People are going to make a mistake about Psul HaMikdashim. So if you say that the Psul of Chulin Shnishchatu Bazara is De'oraisa, is Mina Torah, then it makes sense that when you talk about a Behema or even a Baal Mum, right, which are within the category of Kochim, then it makes sense to say, all right, those are Asurim, those have to be burnt, those have to be treated like Psul HaMikdashim. When you get to the category of Chaya, right, Chaya, the only reason that you would say, right, Chaya has to be Nisraf when it's Nishkat in the Azara is because of a Boklug. Or because if we're already doing Behema, we do Chaya. Chaya, you never confuse with Sulei Mikdashim. Because a Chaya can never end up in the Mizbeach, can never end up as Kodesh. So it's clear day that this isn't Kodesh when you shech the Chaya over there. So now, if the whole Ikar Isur is Midoraisa, then it makes sense that when we have a chayo, that's nishchat be'azara, that not only is it asur and asur ba'anah, but you also have to do streifa. It's a streifa because it's an extension of the deoraisa. Whereas, if you believe the whole Easter is derabonon, because up to psulei hamukdashim, then to say in addition to that, we're going to say a chayo, right, then it's like gzeiro l'gzeiro, or it's too much to ask to burn a chayo because psulei hamukdashim is already, right, a derabonon about something else, right? It's just too far fetched. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon over here, or says, right, Mikudeshet, right, that indicates that, what, that it is a, it is only Dirabanan, because if it was Nisra Doraisa, it would be Nisra Anol, you can't marry with it. And number two is, we're going to see this in a second, the Gemara is going to challenge it. From the Braisa, it would indicate that, what, that Rabbi Shimon should believe that a Chaya is not restricted, because Braisa Verminu. That's from a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Chulin Shnishchatu Bazara Yisrufu. Alright, this is the problem. Shimon explicitly says, Chulin Shnishchatu Yisru, Bechain Chaya Shnishchata Be'azara. And also a Chaya that's Nishchata Be'azara. So now, everything I just said to you creates a problem with this verse. So, David suggests, why not? Just say that he doesn't hold them to Brisa. So there's certain things he believes get burnt, certain things that don't get burnt. The problem now is this Brisa. Because before we said, Rabbi Shimon says that you can be Nitzkadesh with Chula and Shinishchatu B'Dara. Indication that it's only a Nitzkadera Bono and not a Nitzkadera Brisa. Part of my belief that if Rabbi Shimon believes you can be Nitzkadesh, right, with a Itzurei Hana'a, or it means that there is no Itzurei Hana'a. So that's number one. Stage number one is Rabbi Shimon believes you can be Mitzkadesh for Kulin Shinishchatu B'Dara, that means Mutar B'Hana'a. Now we have a Brisa that says Rabbi Shimon Omer Asur B'Hana'a. So now the Gemara says, well, what's the problem? Why? Because the Isur I know that's mentioned in this Brisa says not only Behema. Had it just said Behema, then we could have answered like David said, which is, right, he believes Behema is a Asur B'Hana'a, and whatever else the Kulin Shinishchatu B'Dara, he didn't believe the rest of the Brisa or other parts of the Brisa. The problem is that he says Behem Kaya. When he says Behem Kaya, based on what we just spoke before, Chaya means what automatically is Doraisa. So now, so you have a Brisa that says Doraisa, you have a, right, a Mekudeshet, which says it's only Derabanan, right, then, and Tosus just asks, as an aside here, Tosus asks a question, just because it's an Issa Derabanan, why should you be able to be Mitzkadesh with it? And if it's an Issa Derabanan, it's also just a Mitzkadesh in it. So Tosus says that it only has to have some semblance of Doraisa in it, in order to be Issa, even Issa Derabanan, has to have some connection and part Doraisa, in order to be restricted in using it for Kiddushin. But if it's all Derabanan, totally Derabanan, then that's not the case. So now you have this one statement where Rav Shimon says you can use it for Kiddushin, all Derabanan. You have another statement that says even a Chayo has to be Nisra, which sounds like Deoraisa. How do we reconcile these two? So he was Ishtiku, right? That he was silent. He didn't have a response for them. Right? Atu Lekameh Derabba, they came before Rabba, Amar Lahu. He says back to them, right? Palgal Kuminchi, right, that you are, you guys are just poking at things, or you're just trying to, you know, see if you can catch him, you know, with the statement that he made. No, there's an alternative here, which is that they shechted the animal and found out that it was a treifa. And why? Rabbi Shimon Latameh. We just had this from Shimon before. Shimon believes that if you have a shechita she'ena ru'uya, right, that a shechita she'ena ru'uya is not nikra, shechita. So in that case, the Tanya, shechetet treifa, chena shechet shechetet nimtzei treifa, zevzeh chulin be'azara. And if someone is shech a treifa, right, which is a treifa that's already known, right, an obvious treifa, or nimtzei treifa, was only found to be a treifa after you shechted it, either way, these are chulin be'azara. Why? You shechted them in the azara. Well, the shechita failed because it's a treifa, but nevertheless, you did shechita. That's chulin be'azara. Rabbi Shimon Omer here be'hana. Shimon says, no problem over here. Why? It's not nikra shechita. If your shechita is not effective, meaning you didn't create a kosher animal, then it's not nikra shechita. If it's not nikra shechita, then you don't have chulin shenishchatu be'azara. And that's why it's mutar b'hana. Chachamim and Mosrim say no. So what are we gonna say now? How are we gonna explain Rabbi Shimon? We have two statements of Rabbi Shimon. One statement of Rabbi Shimon says that chulin shenishchatu be'azara is a sur b'hana. That's his general belief that it is a sur b'hana, and it's a sur b'hana means all right. So and that's why Chai is included. Right, just like the Chachamim. What's the instance where Rabbi Shimon says you can be mitzkadesh for chulin shenishchatu be'azara? That's a unique case where it was a treifa, right? Where something where the shechita was not effective, and the shechita is not effective. There is no shechita. There's no shechita. Then you don't have chulin shenishchatu be'azara. That's how we explain the position of Rabbi Shimon. All right, machran v'kiddush b'dmei mikudeshes. We said in our Mishnah that even though these isurei hana'a you may not use for kiddushin. But if you redeem them, meaning they're not redeemed in that sense, but you sell them, or you do something in which exchanges them for money, the Isur HaNa'a remains with the Chefetz, and the money that you get, you can use for Kiddushin, it's your money. Right? So the Gemara says, Minolan, how do we know that the money that you used, or that you got in exchange for the Isur HaNa'a is not Tofes, the Isur HaNa'a? So the Gemara says, Mitagali Rachmana Bavodat Kuchavim. So the Torah is explicit by Avodat Kuchavim that it is Nitzchak, shows you that in other places not. Why? Because it says, V'chaita Cherem Kamahu. Kosha atam mihayeh hamenu. So that it'll be, right, this is in the Varim, says that anything that is avodah zara is cherem kamau, meaning that cherem means it's totally restricted to you. But here, the Gemara dashes of cherem kamau, kosha atam mihayeh hamenu, harihu kamau. Anything that you generate from it will be like it. What does that mean? Everything you generate from the sale or usage of avodah zara will also take on the restriction of avodah zara, which means that it'll also be asur be'anot. Michlal. From there, you can conclude the Chol Yisur Mishra Torah Shoru. The fact that the Torah has to come and explicitly tell you that by Avodat Kuchavim tells you that everywhere else it's not true. Otherwise, if the default status was that everything is Nitpas, then why by Avodah Zarah you have to come and teach me something that already is known by all of the Yisurim? The fact that the Torah comes to teach us that by Avodah Chumim indicates that it's not true of other Yisurim, Shabbat Torah. Smart says, Benilis Mina. Excuse me, you know, generally whenever we have these types of things in the Torah, you have one din, and then we say, that's a binyanav, that's a, right, that's a memasinu to teach us what the din is by other Yisurim. You have one Yisur. Smart says, Meshum Davos Chavim Ushvi'it, Shnei Ktuvim Habayim Ke'achad. Now we have one other place where we have Tfisat Kedusha, and that is in Shvi'it. Therefore we can learn. We explained that already. Shvi'it, mahi, what's the din of Shvi'it? So now we're going to bring the Mishnah, right, that explains this in Shvi'it. Yovihi kodesh tielachem. So that Yovel, it's Yovel, and therefore it'll be kodesh. Ma kodesh tofeset damah, af Shvi'it tofeset dameha. Just like kodesh, when you exchange a kodesh animal for money, the Kedusha transfers to the money. So too, when you sell Perot Shvi'it, you do something with Kedushat Perot Shvi'it, the Kedusha transfers over to the money. We had this before, right? That when you use it by Kodesh, the Kedusha transfers off the animal onto the money, and now the animal is Chulin. So the same thing by Shvi'it. Say that when you sell the Perot Shvi'it, the Perot becomes Chulin, and the money becomes just as the Dmei Perot Shvi'it on it. Right, Av Shvi'it tofeset damei abiyosad ha'chulin. Say the same thing by Shvi'it. And it says Tamalomar Tiyeh. Right, it's Kodesh Tiyeh abiyosad tehei. That means that it remains in its kedusha. So as opposed to Kodesh, where if you redeem it, the kedusha moves to the money and the animal or whatever item you were taking the exchange for becomes chulin. By Shvi'it, when you sell the perot Shvi'it, the perot Shvi'it remain kadosh, and the money that was done in exchange then becomes kadosh. Right, why case that? It is Laka perot Shvi'it basar. Someone exchanged perot shvi'it for meat. Right? Both of them have to be burnt when the expiration of time for perot shvi'it comes. Zman ha'bigur, they both have to be removed because now you have the perot which still remain kadosh with kedushat shvi'it, and the basar now which is taken on, right, which is exchanged for it takes on the kedushat shvi'it. But basar b'dagim, then he went and used the meat and exchanged that for fish. It's not basar v'nichnasu dagim. At that point, the basar leaves the kedushat shvi'it and passed on to the fish, b'dagim yayin, and then he took the fish and exchanged it for wine. Yatsu dagim nechnas yayin. Then the dagim are out, and the yayin becomes kadosh kedushat shvi'it. B'yayin shemen, wine exchanged for oil. Yatsay yayin v'nechnas shemen. So what is that? Hakezat acharon acharon nitpat. The last thing that's in the exchange, in the chain of exchanges, is right nitpat b'shvi'it, is kadosh kedushat shvi'it. Uperi atzmo asur. The original peirot remain b'kedushat shvi'it. Right, that's the din by shvi'it. So now you have shnei ktuvim by b'techad. One is Shvi'it, one is Avodat Chachavim. Both of them teach you that there is Hakpasa on the money or anything exchanged for Perot Shvi'it or Avodat Zarah, and that becomes Shnei Ktuvim and Eim Balamdim. They become the exception, not the rule. Tosfos Ovir points out that Shvi'it and Avodat Chachavim don't exactly work alike. Right, well, first of all, right, by Avodat Zarah, there we say that it's Nitpas on everything. In that Avodah Zarah, all the exchanges go down the road, right? It never leaves the Kedusha. Everything remains Asur. And Shvi'it, we have it that only the Acharon Acharon. It does say that it can be Choshtu, Skulim, Bayt, Ke'achat, could be if only the Limud works one way. Meaning that if you could learn one out of the other, even though it's only one from one, right, to the other, in an instance where it's only one direction. Meaning that you couldn't learn both Avodah Zarah. If you had Avodah Zarah, you wouldn't learn Shvi'it, or Shvi'it, you wouldn't learn Avodah Zarah. It doesn't have to be a two-way street. If you could learn in a one way, that's enough to be considered Shnei Ketuvim Kibay Mechat. Right? So that's what he says. So he says, Mikom Nechtov Shvi'it, B'nei Dei Avod Chachavim Mina, V'hai Gavne Mipei Shepher Beg Ketuvim Bayim Ke'achat, B'kama Duchte. That's considered, right, in many places, that's enough of a Shnei Ketuvim Habayim Ke'achat. Right? So now, the Gemara says, Hanicha, as the Gemara says everywhere, L'manda Amar Eim Melamdin. That's good according to what it says, Shnei Ketuvim Bayim Ke'achat Eim Melamdin. What about the Manda Amar Melamdin? That it's not enough. Michael and Amar, Mi'utek Tive Be. Right, that each one of these limudim, both Avodah Zarah and Shvi'it, have miut written by them. I assume that's what the Gemara is quoting from above. Right, kicherem kamo, which means it and not others. I mean that only Avodah Zarah is nitpas b'kedusha and not others. Tivatam by Shvi'it, it says Yovel he in midrachina love. So both of them have exclusions that say that we can't learn from them or set up a ben memetinu or binyan av from either the Yisurim, because the Yisurim are unique to these two categories, and they cannot be extrapolated to other categories of Yitzur. Next Mishnah. Amakadesh b'trumot, umatzrot, umatanot, umechatat, Eifer Paraz, probably the Girsa here. Arizu Mikudeshet, Bafil Yisrael. Somebody uses Truma Matzer, Matnos Kuhuna, right? Or Waters of the Chatat, or the Eifer of the Parah, they are Mikudeshet, and Bafil Yisrael, even if it's a non-Kohen that is using them over here. Amar Lua, Tobatana, Inamamon. When it comes to benefit of giving, the ability, you don't own something, but you have the right to dispense the object or to give the object to a specific individual. That tovatana ain't a mamon, does not have monetary value. Of course, what are you going to ask, Gula? From our Mishnah. Over here, our Mishnah says that Yisrael can use Truma, Meister, all these items to be Mitzkadesh with them. Clear that it's not his because they don't belong to him. He's going to give it to a Kohen, he's going to give it to a Levi. So that entitlement to give it to someone else is what gives him monetary value in the object, and that's why he's going to be Mitzkadesh with it. So why does Ula say here that it's Enam Amon? Eight Vey. We have the Ula Mekadesh Vetchumot Matzot Matanot Mechatat Eifer Parah Harizu Mikudesh Rafilu Yisrael. Right, that's the problem for you, Ula. Amalei Hocha BeYisrael Shenafkulo Tevalim Veit Avi Abba Avi Imo Kohen. So his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, was a Kohen, and he already the Kohen already had the Truma and the Maaser. So he had full ownership rights here, and then he inherited it. So the Israel actually owns the Truma and the Maaser. He may not eat it, but he's allowed to sell it to a Kohen or sell it to, well, Maaser Rishon, he could eat, but he could sell it to a Kohen and get the monetary value of the Truma because it belongs to him over here.
A Kohen gives to Israel, and is going to own the produce as tenant.
Yeah.
Even though he never owned it as separated Truma?
Over here, so,
yeah.
Right. Oh, very good. So next line in the Gemara. The Katavar, Matanot, Shlohurmu, Kamisha Hurma Damian. That even though the Matanot were not taken off, right, it's if they were taken off, because Shaul is right. If we believe that they were Tevel, then the Kohen does not own the Truma until it's separated out. So you have to believe that when you have Tevel, right, it's as if, right, the Truma is separated, or the Mace region is separated. If that's the case, the Kohen already took possession of the Truma. If he took possession of the Truma, then he's able to be Matchil that to his grandson. Yeah, but he has to be makrish it. Right, to take off the name of Tevel, he has to take it off, but he can keep it for himself. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Bayu Mine, Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Mir Avuna. It's a question. Avuna, Tova Tana, Mamon, or Eina Mamon? Which way is it? Samar Lei, Tnitua. We learned that in our Mishnah, right? I'm a Kaddish, but you want to maestro the Matanot, Mechatate for Parai, Zumi Kadashet, Bafilu Israel. What does that prove? That Tova Tana is Mamon. Didn't we already establish that could be explained, this mission could be explained away, even if you don't believe that Tovatana is Mamon? Right, so he says, Hotza'at. Right, so he was, responded to him, you are a Hotza'at, meaning he thought that meant that my Shmua, the memory that I said over, is not good. Like I said something that wasn't good, I wasn't exacting in what I said. Ichtiv, so he got embarrassed about that. Right, because Husavar Mishmaita Karmale. He was saying when he's Hotza'at, he means like, you know, take what you said, take it out of here, it doesn't make sense. So he says, no, Amale, healthy coming, this is what I meant, Rav Asi the Hutza, Koi Kavatech. Right, he says that Rav Yosef Yehutza holds like you. So when he says Hotza'at, he didn't mean Hotza'at, take this out of here, he meant Hutza'at, that you are like Mr. Hutza. Right, which is Rav Asi the Hutza, which means that he held the same way as you, that from our Mishnah you can infer that Tovatana is Mamon, that has value, has monetary value. So Mar says, Nema Kitanai, let us say that this is a Machloket Tanaim, whether Tovatana is Mamon or Ina Mamon. Why? Hagonet Tizlo Shel Chaveiro, someone who steals the Tevel of his friend. Mishalim, what does he have to repay? So the first opinion is, Divrei Rabbi, which is Mishalim, Tizlo Shel Chaveiro. He must repay him the Dvei Tevel, the entire value of the Tevel. He only has to pay him back, right, the chulin aspect of it. So why is that? So what does Rabbi, seems Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda believe that when Yisrael has tevel, the only thing he owns is the chulin aspect of it. The other aspects of the truma and the maestros don't belong to the Yisrael, number one. And number two is he has no monetary value in his ability to dispense or to give out those items. Lav Mamonu, very good. And then, but Rabbi says no, he has to repay him the entire amount of the Tevel. I mean, Tevel's value is going to be different than value of Chulin. Obviously, he's not going to pay him the full value of Chulin in Tevel. He's going to pay him the amount of the Chulin plus what Truma and Maestros are worth to Yisrael to be able to dispense them. So it means Dvei Tevel is obviously worth less than Dvei Chulin for that entire item. But at least, he's saying there is some monetary value to the Truma and the Maester that's there. Now, why does he only have to pay Dnei Chulin Shavokan Rabbi Yisrael Behuda? What about the Shuman Maitre? He has to pay the Kohen back, he should have to pay the Levi. Right, that is because it's Mamon, Shein Lo Tovim. Right, the problem here, because no individual Kohen or Levi can come and make a claim here. Because you can always say, I give it to the other Kohen, I'll give it to the other Levi. So since there is no claimant, right, then you can't give it, you can't force him to give up that money. Right?
So, yeah. It sounds like that's a disadvantage for him, because it's a gzela that he cannot make amends for.
Well, he could make amends for it, we just can't make demands of him to make amends for it.
And how will he make amends for it? By giving it back?
He could just give it to any Kohen, right? Once he gives it to a Kohen, he
can't make amends by giving it back to him.
No, right. It sounds, well, he didn't steal money from him, so he has not, he didn't steal it from him, so he has to give it back to the person he stole it from.
He could
rectify it by giving it to the Kohen, but not giving it to this guy. Alright, my love, Bahakamitli, is what they're arguing. Marta Ritzvatan Amamon, Marta Ritzvatan Aina Mamon, just like we explained just now, right? At least one of them believes that whether it's Tovatana or not, Tovatana. So, Marta says no. The Chuliyama, Tovatana Aina Mamon. Everybody agrees that there is no monetary value to a Yisrael when it comes to Trumot and Matzrot. The Hachabit Valim, we're talking about Tfalim that fell from his grandfather, his maternal grandfather. They're actually arguing about the point that Shaul made before, which is when the Tevel is still Tevel, is it considered Chulin and Truma, or is it considered Tevel? So it'll be the Machlokas here. One of them believes that it's considered Tevel. If it's considered Tevel, he has no ownership right in the Truma and the Matzir here, because Tovatana is in a Mamon. Whereas if you believe Matanot, Shiloh, Homo, Damit are already taken off, if they're already taken off, then he has the Kohen owned them. If the Kohen owned them, he was Manchil them to his grandson. And now his grandson owns them. When he stole from you, he took money from him. So that'll be the Machlokas here.
Right, so that sounds good that the Truma's and the Matzir's.
Oh, very good. Excellent question. So Rashi points out that this is a case when after the time of the second bayit, when they came back, right, so Rashi says there's an instance where was a knas on the Levim who didn't come back during bayit sheni, that the Kohanim guy were entitled to the Maaser Rishon. So very good, Shaul. That was your question. So Rashi deals with that. So now, V'vay Zema, now some say the Kuli Alma Kamisha Hudim, I mean, it's as if they were separated out. Over here they're arguing in Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, chita achat poteret et akri. That one little, you know, item, if you take up any amount, that's already, right, considered to be truma. The Marzav is laid to Shmuel, or Marzav laid to Shmuel, right? So one of them holds the Shmuel, one of them is holding the Shmuel. So now, at this point, Shmuel, the Gemara is moving in a different direction, because here the Gemara cannot explain my throat this way. Because verse Shmuel's statement is only in truma. And so this issue will be only explained that Machlok is in Truma, but Maaser Rishon, everybody's going to have to agree that it is what? It's not repeatable over here, because it's, number one, we just said that everybody holds Tovatana is in a Mamon, and everybody says that it's Kemisha Hormu Damyan, right? So if it's Kemisha Hormu Damyan, they were taken out already, then he has monetary value in the Maaser Rishon that he can keep. Now what's the story with Truma? They're arguing in Shmuel. What's the din here? Right? When we have Shmuel, the Dami Lomasi Tavale, because he can say there is no monetary value in Truma. Because Truma, right, is not, the question is Truma a big piece of your money or a small piece of your money? I mean, that if you have a Tvalim or Tevel that's sitting here, right, I have a big pile of Tevel, how much Truma is there in this Tevel? And how much Chulin is there in this pile here? So if Truma has a value, a huge value, then Truma is a big part of your pile here, and therefore, he doesn't owe you for the Truma part of it, he only owns you for the Chulin part of it. What happens if Truma is only a little piece of the pile here? Then when he sold, most everything was basically Chulin except for one little, right, one little chita. So if one little chita is Truma, then he owes you because the Dmei Chulin means the whole thing. He owes you for the whole thing because there is no Truma over here. Right? Truma is a very small portion of the total package that we have here. Because if chita achat poteret et akri, then the tevel was made up of 99.9% chulin and one little chita of truma. So when he steals it from you, he basically stole chulin from you. Whereas if you believe that truma cannot be poteret, you can't be poteret truma with just a little chita, then truma is 2%, whatever it is, a portion of the amount. So you only have to replace the chulin part of it, he doesn't have to replace the truma part of it. So that was the ibay zema at this point of it, guys. Everybody is not holding Shmuel. So, final time is it Rabbi? So, why does Rabbi say you have to pay the whole thing back if Shmuel is a big portion of the amount? Kanzu Rabbanu, the Ganav. They were according to Ganav, they shouldn't get away. He steals a big portion, now he has to pay back, 98% of it, or he has only to pay back 90% of what he stole. So we don't want the Ganav to get a benefit from stealing some dinner.
Then we're assuming that according to that interpretation, you've got to pay back the Maestro also.
Well, yeah, correct. Vibai Zema, the Kuliyam Iskul, the Shmuel. Everybody holds the Shmuel. But I know, how can I know time with the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Then what's the reason Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? If Shmuel says that Truma is a small portion, then why does he say, you only pay him to make Chul and Shabbat? There's the Kansur Rabban on the Balabai. Loi Baila the Shuya, the Siblai. They're calling it the Balabai, because what is he leaving Teva hanging out over here? So he loses his house.
He
should have taken care of it faster. Stan, our mission, I'm a Kaddish, which you most might show to Matanot, make a tad paper for Rajim Kadesh, Bafa Pi Yisrael. Viriminu, we have a problem from the Mishnah in Bichorot. It says, a note of Karla Dun, Dinov, Bitelim. Someone who takes money to do a din, his din is invalid. Lahayid Eduto, Bitela, Eduto Bitela. Right? Lahazot, Ulakadesh Meimav, it's to do Azah, or it's to be Makadesh Meimav, Meimara. Then his Meimav is Meimara. His water is not good water for the, right, the Parav, Efro, Efer Makleh. And the Efer he does for the Parah is also like he burnt a piece of wood and not brought the Efer Parah. So now, what do you have a problem? We have a problem in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said over here that he's going to be Mitkadesh with, right, there were two items that the Mishnah mentioned that disagree with this, is Mechatat and Efer Parah. And over here, the Mishnah from Bechorah says that if someone uses Efer Parah, takes money for the Efer Parah or for the Mayim, right, the Mechatat, that stuff is useless. It doesn't have value anymore. So why is it that our mission says it has value, and over here it says that in Bechorot it says there's no value? So I'm Rabbi Lokasho, that's not a problem, why not? Kan b'skar haba, hava umiloi, kan b'skar hazavi kiddush. Depends what you're talking about. In the instance of our Mishnah, the money, or the monetary value you're talking about is bringing the water, and, right, filling up the water, or putting the ashes into the water. We're kan b'skar hazavi kiddush. Over here in the Mishnah in Bechorot is talking about the case where he's taking money to do the actual sprinkling of the mechatat on the person, or kiddush, putting the efer in and mixing it and making it into mechatat. The economic, the Tony Hoka in our Mishnah says, the mechatat uve efer parah. It's talking about mechatat and efer parah. It doesn't talk about, right, each one of them. But Tony Hoka, hazot uve kadesh, as you do in action. So what's the difference between these? So Rashi brings down a difference, which is interesting. I'll tell you, Tosri HaZakin separates Rashi's explanations down into two different categories. I would have said, if you asked me what the difference between these two is, one is a Hechsher Mitzvah, and one is the Mitzvah itself. So he can charge for bringing the water. There's no obligation for the Kohen to provide the Mechatat. There's no obligation for the Kohen to bring the Efer Parah. What the Kohen is obligated to do in the Torah is to sprinkle on the Yisrael, or to mix the Mechatat. That's what the Torah commands. So if it's the mitzvah that the Torah commands, right, then you can't take a charge for it. Whereas if it's the Heksher mitzvah, preparing for that mitzvah, the Torah doesn't obligate him to do the Heksher mitzvah, just obligates him to do, once you have the item here, to do what he's supposed to do. So for the Heksher mitzvah, he can charge. That would be a differentiation. So that's one positive differentiation. The other differentiation, which the Tosafot is looking big, is a separate differentiation, is that tircha and lav tircha. Right, bringing the water and filling up the water and then getting the Efer Parah are things that take a large amount of work for the Kohen to do. So if he has to do a large amount of work, that he can charge for. But azah, which is a sprinkling thing, or mixing the mechatat, which are not large exertions on his behalf, he can't charge. So the Tosafot HaZakin brings him the Yeshua Parshim, which has two separate reasons. On the other hand, Rashi over here combines the two reasons and says that one is Milta to Tirchahi and Rachmana Lo Rami Ale. That what it's also, number one is a Tircha, number two, the Torah doesn't command it to him. And the other case of Hazan, all that is like a Tircha, and there's a mitzvah that he has to do. It's ma'atem b'chinam, ma'atem b'chinam. So that's to charge, it has to be Tircha plus a Hechsher mitzvah, and to not, or not be able to charge, it has to be a mitzvah and a like a Tircha. The question is, Rashi does not address the two middle cases, which is what you're asking about, because you could be medayin either way from either side. Right? It's not clear what Rashi says when there is Tircha and a mitzvah, or if there's a lekka tircha and a heksher mitzvah, it's not clear what Rashi deals with. According to the Tosafot HaZakin, it separates the issues out, then you could address, right, either those issues of being separate. Rashi does not address those in-between cases, which is interesting in Rashi's shot, why he went that direction. Why did he combine the two reasons over here? Alright, let's start the Mishnah quickly, and then, okay. Omer Chavero, Tzivik Hadesh Le'isha Plonit, says, go out and marry this woman for me. So instead of going to doing his friend's bidding, he went and he married the woman for himself. Mikudeshet l'sheni. Right, he's married to the second one, to the chavera. You're married to me after 30 days. Somebody married it within the 30 days. The second guy went because his condition are affected immediately. The other one has a deferred condition. But he told the Kohen, Tokal B'Truma. And she said, but he told the Kohen, she can eat Truma. There's a full condition here. Me'achshav u'la'achar shloshim yom. Then he says, from now until after 30 days, then you have a kedushim and not kedushim. I mean, that depends what's going to happen after those 30 days. In the meantime, v'achar v'kitcha v'tok shloshim yom. Someone else came into the Kaddish within the 30-day period. Mekadesh v'enu mekadesh. Now we have a safek who she's in Kaddish to, and she'll require a get from both of them, or at least one of them to marry the other, and she'll need a get from both of them to marry a third party. But he showed the Kohen, or by Kohen, he showed the Kohen, that she won't be entitled to Truma in these instances. So Mar says, Ha'omer l'chavero, say the Kiddush. Right, that's our mission over here. Tana, Masha Asa Asui, El Shana Bo Minhag Rima'ut. Right, that what he did is done, but he didn't act appropriately. Here, his friend is Somech on him to go out and do something for him, and yet he goes and does the opposite, and he does it for himself. So even though what he does is a valid Kiddushin, that's not the nice way to behave. But Tana Didan, right? Halach nami diktani, right? Halach biramaut. So our mission, how come it doesn't say that? Why doesn't our mission mention that this is inappropriate? That's what the Gemara says. No, our Tana Didan, when he says halach, chavero, bekacha, that halach is halach biramaut. And it's a hint that what he did here was inappropriate, right? That he went in a deceiving or underhanded way and married this woman for himself instead of taking care of her for her friend. Okay, so we'll stop over here.